Dear Shooter, it's here. We found it. It has been released. The most high speed, low drag, secret agent John Wickiest course out there. Brought to you by Michael Bloomberg and Every Town for Gun Safety. Train smart. But they did state that when these guns are put together with different pieces or whatever, it's like an organ transplant.
Yeah, I got an effing shooting once.
It's a perishable skill.
Quitting?
Yes. My favorite death threat I ever got, the guy left his email address on.
He's just going to make it rain in Spanish, that's all.
Here's 20 cents, here's 20 cents, here's 20 cents. Wow, you need to
make a clip on. It's not a strap on.
2 weeks for all that? That isn't training, that's camp.
You couldn't read a brochure on all that shit in that time.
Prepare to enter the space where nothing is safe, nothing is sacred, and offensive conversation is encouraged. Welcome to the Dear Shooter Podcast and your hosts, Jason Wilson, Brandy, and Jason Croteau.
Yeah, okay, I'm not even waiting for the intro music to finish. I'm too excited to talk about this. This came up yesterday. We Brandy and I went and we launched a balloon. It was lots of fun. And then when we got done, we all met up and we had breakfast in town. And you sat down and you told me with a straight face that Every Town for Gun Safety now has a training course.
Yes, the folks that don't think you're responsible enough to own them, regardless of their make, shape, or model, have now decided that they're going to provide training.
Well, now, this is before I knew all of this information, because my first thought when you told me this was they're tired of their assassins missing?
Yeah, I wish it was a punchline to a joke. It's not. They're serious about it.
No.
And that's the terrifying piece.
It is. And I spent most of today trying to dig as much research on this as I possibly could, and there's not much. They're not offering a lot up here to decide if you really want to take this course, which I found out is entirely online.
Entirely online. There's not a shooting component piece to it.
No, well, no,
until
no.
There's they gather instructors.
No. There's a range component.
Oh, I missed that.
Oh, yeah. So there is an 8-hour range component that you watch online.
Wait, it's not a range component.
I agree.
But you get to see a range.
You get to look at one online?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So it costs $20
to look at a range.
Well, the first one is the Smart Guide to Buying a Gun. There's two additional classes, including an 8-hour range trip to the range, which you watch from your home.
You're kidding.
No.
Eight hours.
I can watch this shit on YouTube and pay nothing, y'all.
Well, all right, so these are the folks that don't want you to own guns from a personal perspective.
Right. Well, and this was one of the things I loved about it. So reading their liability waiver, right? At the end of it, they say, if you require specific advice or expertise about the use, possession, or ownership of your firearm, please consult a qualified professional. Basically saying, we suck.
When I looked at this, what stuck out to me is they would list and say things like developed by military professionals.
Yes, they do say that.
But they don't qualify branch of service, type of service, any kind of merits whatsoever.
So the tank mechanic is teaching this.
Wait a minute. Don't drag on tank mechanics. One invented the AK-47.
Okay, well, they don't shoot it.
I will say, though, that they don't offer any details about their credentials of their instructors in any way.
They won't even give the instructors last names.
So that's problematic.
Agreed. And one of the things, instructor Jake, maybe from State Farm, I don't know, maybe they coached him.
Makes more sense now you say it like that.
Begins by cautioning viewers that no student should have access to a firearm during the course.
Say that again.
Yeah. You're in a firearm safety course, and the first rule of their safety is that you should not have access to a firearm during the course.
So you're here for firearms training. Go put your gun away.
Yes. That's I mean, yeah.
I'm sorry, you can't make that up.
No, you can't. I mean, this is I'm reading this article, and this is an article by I lost it now. Here we go. Lee Williams. And this is NSSF. And
now, is he actually looking at this as trying to take it seriously?
I think he did, because he actually took the time to go through the course.
Well, and I have to applaud that.
I do too.
Write something about it. You should know what you're talking about.
I do too. And he does. I mean, this article reads like something out of The Onion or maybe Babylon Bee. But
it's not.
It's
that's
not.
The thing.
And that's what's scary about it. None of the instructors give their last name or any kind of credentials.
Right. That's the thing I pulled away from it and I stopped reading.
They claim that it was developed by military veterans because they even talk about it in their Instagram post when they launched this thing that, you know, we worked with military veterans because they're trained to use firearms. Now, okay. I noted when I watched it, and I had to go back and replay it, they don't say that they're trained to use firearms safely, just that they're trained to use firearms.
And the guy doing the talking, isn't that the same asshat that's been lobbying in Colorado to take your guns away?
Yes.
So the mouthpiece on this is, at least they're staying true to form.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Where's the guy's name? You're going to put me on the spot here. All right, here it is. Greg Lickenbrock. This is, and you're exactly right. This is the same knucklehead that was down in the Colorado legislature lobbying against AR-15s when they were trying to pass their gun control bill last year.
So why would I trust anything he has to say?
You shouldn't. He is a paid whore.
Most whores are.
I mean, because
by definition.
And this guy's gone, and he's run the gamut. Every town hired him because he comes out of the gun industry. Now, he is born and bred in Fudsville, but he goes to where he's paid and says whatever he's told. He's not a gun guy. But he's now the director of training for Everytown.
So where is this Everytown training located? Where are they at?
Everytown? They're based out of New York.
Of course. Take that with a grain of salt, y'all.
Well, it's Michael Bloomberg funded.
Yeah.
He has been funding almost all of the anti-gun groups for a very long time now.
Oh, very long. If you look at the 2013 legislation out of Colorado, it's New York writing. I mean, it's their legislation. You look at the wording of the bill, it's all New York. So this guy, I don't know what qualifies him to be director of training, but some of the stats that they give, they flat out tell you, adopt a dog, because that's a better defense than a gun.
That's in the firearms training?
Yes.
Bring a steak. My dog will love you. It's fine. He'll help you carry the TV out.
Another thing that they say, since 2020, guns have been the leading cause of death for children 1 to 17.
So they're lying again.
Oh, out
Same
their ass.
Same stat they've been lying
out
about for
their
years.
Ass. Owning a gun, you double your chances of dying by homicide.
Lie, lie, lie.
Hey!
Lie, lie, lie.
Even the dog knows that's a lie.
But this is, I'm sorry, let's go back to the intent here. They want to train people on firearms.
Mm-hmm.
Like, under the presumption thereof that you have one.
Yeah.
And you need help learning how to responsibly manage, care for, and use the thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Continue.
It's stupid because one of the big things about it, every second matters when you need a gun. I'm quoting from the article. Some people believe it's okay to keep a gun on the nightstand. If you're moving so fast that you don't have time to access your gun, you likely don't have time to confirm your target before shooting. So this is their reasoning for keeping your gun locked, unloaded with the ammunition in a separate space.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, all in
so they're propagating all of the really stupid things.
Yes. Their other trainer, Nellis, is her name.
Nellis.
Yeah.
And Nellis has no last name or credentials.
No. Says all weapons should be kept unloaded, period.
So it's a paperweight.
Right.
It's a pretty.
I mean, you could throw it at somebody. I mean, I got a couple in there that probably hurt if they hit you.
Yeah, but they're not going to do you enough to actually survive the
so
incident.
So we're bringing a paperweight to a gunfight. Is that what we're doing?
That's exactly what we're doing.
They're telling you to put a baseball beside your bed.
They also bring race into it.
Oh, race.
Yes. Jake from State Farm states that police interactions may be risky for black gun owners. We want to acknowledge that. Gather more information about police in your area.
Wow, they totally did play the race card, didn't they? Holy crap around. Okay, so the first course is how long?
It's an hour and a half.
Hour and a half of indoctrination into bullshit.
Correct.
And then the second course is?
8 hours.
Of a range you get to watch.
Yeah, you get to watch somebody on the range. And I don't know where that goes. I might have to look into that and actually take that. And,
you know, so we've all seen Mystery Science 3000.
Oh, my God, I should do that.
Theater, right? We need to do this because this is just begging for commentary.
Oh, it'd be like watching The Room. You got to have the commentary or you can't make it through that movie.
Let's make that a date.
Let's do exactly this. This will be fun. We might be able to do this on the podcast.
I think we could. I think we could throw this one up on YouTube.
Do they have any other courses? Is this just their kind of pinky toe step into the deal?
I think this is just their step into it.
They're not saying, here's a list of instructors to go get hands-on training with. They're not doing any of that.
No. Going back to their disclaimer, if you require specific advice or expertise about your use, possession, or ownership of a firearm, please consult a qualified professional.
Which means none of them are qualified professionals.
That's exactly what that means.
Just call me. Just call me.
So basically, we're getting gun safety by Big Bird?
I'm not even sure. I think Big Bird would have a problem with this.
I think he would. And I mean, Winnie the Pooh, he's packing.
You are getting gun safety and firearms training from Snuffleupagus.
Oh. He's the imaginary friend, y'all.
Correct.
Here's one that just really kind of ruffled my feathers. Again, quoting from, and this is quoting from the article, but the article is quoting the class, mind you. The presence of a gun in a domestic violence situation makes it 5 times more likely that the woman will be killed. This is Nellis. And according to the National Network to End Domestic Violence, when a male abuser has access to a firearm, the risk that he's going to shoot and kill a female increases by 1,000%.
So they're teaching red flag.
Yes.
But they're also gender alienating, creating a stereotype that is false.
But they're completely making up this statistic, and it's been proven that this is patently false.
So basically, if a man owns a gun, chances are his wife or girlfriend are going to get shot.
How is it that you are still alive?
Because I shoot back.
The numbers are just wrong. Oh, I mean, Baldface on their absolute
yeah
wrong.
Yeah, love it. I have bios here. Nellis is, according to her bio, a mother and advocate. She is committing to building safer environments and believes that all children deserve a future free of gun violence.
But if you're in New York, you can still be aborted 6 months after birth, right?
We're gonna get to New York after the break.
Oh, my God. So the scary piece about this is they want to be taken seriously. They actually think that this is firearms training.
I'll look at 49% of this country. They probably think this is, like, just top-notch.
That's the scary, scary, scary piece. The worst thing is they're charging for this?
It's $20.
Well, still.
My students show up with 10 times that amount in ammo.
Well, at least. But, I mean, $20 is $20. You know, I can spend that better down the street.
Oh, I can, too. So, we have Jake from State Farm's bio. As an instructor, Jake strives to create welcoming spaces where everyone can learn to feel safer and more confident with firearms, but you're not allowed to access one during course.
Snowflake alert.
Holy crap, it gets worse the more you read. All right, so.
He needs a safe space.
I need a drink is what I need.
I know, you become absolutely speechless. It's like watching a train wreck.
When you think it couldn't get worse. All right, so I am going to make it a mission. I'm going to watch this stuff.
You're going to pay $20 for this kind of training?
I will pay $20 for this kind of entertainment.
Yeah.
I've spent more on movies.
Well, I'm just going to add that if anybody chooses to pay the $20 to do this, then gather all your friends and watch it at the same time.
Oh, yeah. We're totally going to game the system. Holy crap around.
Pop some popcorn.
Well, now, I will say this. All right. They gave one decent nugget. And that was they showed a quick video that stressed Colonel Jeff Cooper's 4 general firearm safety rules. The good colonel, of course, was never mentioned. Neither Nellis nor Jake ever mentioned how the 4 rules became standardized or why they progressed logically from one to another. Instead, the former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg's kids acted like they had invented the rules themselves, which is about what you expect.
They can't find their ass with 2 hands and a map.
No. I'm surprised because I know there's a portion in here where they talk about, you know, using the magazine release. I'm surprised they could find it.
I'm surprised they called it the right thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you drop your clip out of your gun by hitting this button.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I expect to hear.
Yeah. As you'd expect, this makes it propaganda.
Every last stitch of it is propaganda.
Yeah. The video tried to scare students that guns are dangerous and should be unloaded, disassembled, and locked up. And the instructors keep repeating this.
Well, if you're going to do all that and that's your self-defense weapon, you better have a great time in reassembling, I'm just saying.
I mean, I'm pretty proficient in putting one back together for the most part, but why would you take it apart?
Dude, I'm envisioning Major Payne hanging upside down, putting his 1911 back together before his nose starts to bleed.
Right. I can do that.
I used to could.
It's the hanging upside down.
Yeah, that's the me, well. I mean, it's not even the hanging upside down. It's the getting out of that.
True, true. Oh my gosh! So, if I'm gonna watch this, I'm sorry, you all are gonna watch this too.
Oh yeah, but we're totally doing the Mystery Science Theater.
Who's bringing snacks?
I will figure that out.
And if we're watching this, there's got to be alcohol involved. And it won't be.
Yes,
we won't make it.
So we also need to record pieces and parts of it. And steal it for our own plucky comic relief use in real training.
Right.
To show them that all information on the internet is not necessarily good information.
Well, and we've talked about that.
No firearm classes without actually physically attending a range with a firearm in your hand with an instructor next to you. It's not a good class. It's
not a class. It's a seminar. And this is the same thing that I have railed about, what is that?
Legal heat.
Legal heat for years.
Now, I know some guys that do the legal heat.
I do. We do too. We've had one on the show.
I like them. They are good. They are pro 2A.
Well, they are, but they're seminar trainers. They're not instructors.
They're following a PowerPoint and getting paid.
Right.
Now, legal heat does present some good information. They fall completely flat on the fact that you don't actually get to go shoot. You don't get to practice any of the things they talk about.
They do. And to be fair, legal heat is filling a need of people who just need, you know, whatever the bare minimum requirement so that they can go get their licensing.
Which that shouldn't is crappy.
It is. But it shouldn't, the licensing part of it shouldn't even exist.
Because there are some students, you don't hand certificates over to license for concealed carry. You tell them that they need to come back for another class. You're not comfortable with giving them a concealed carry. Concealed carry, serious stuff, y'all.
You've watched me do it.
Well, there's important things of, you know, how you actually manipulate the firearm in a stressful situation.
Well, and there's some people, I mean, forget even the stressful situation. In a training environment, they struggled.
Right.
So it was, you know, look, I will give you this certificate so that you can go and start the process, but you need to come back.
Yeah. And that's so you can have the knowledge that when you signed off on a certificate, they actually had some skills that
right.
were proficient, safe, responsible skills.
Yeah. I mean, I know they're not going to do something stupid.
You can't gain skills on a YouTube video.
No.
You can't.
No. No. And especially when you can't have access to a firearm. Well, I can't even have a dummy gun. Like, give me a freaking cert pistol. I mean, come on.
Yikes. Loud.
Because, well, and the fact of the matter is, these Anytown yahoos probably don't even know things like Mantis or cert even exist.
I'm going to bring a Nerf gun to the party, y'all.
Oh, yes. Get the chain gun.
You're going to break the rules right out of the gate.
Get the one like we got our niece. I mean, this thing's like tripod mounted. It's
this
awesome.
This whole thing just gives me Tourette's.
Do you want me to hand you the transgender scope?
Oh, God. No, don't make it worse.
I mean, it is a Monday. I mean, right?
Somebody actually built that and people bought them. They spent money on them.
Well, there's a reason that Nikon no longer makes sporting optics.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we're going to come back and talk about New York now.
Beans, bullets, band-aids, and booze. While everyone forgets about the last one, 10th Mountain has you covered. With a range of whiskey, vodka, and cordials, you're sure to find just the right spirit for your next adventure. Just remember to flip up your nods before you take a sip. Now shipping orders to nearly every US state so you can get in on the awesomeness. Enter Deer Shooter at checkout for 15% off your order. 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirits Company. Whiskey worth fighting for.
When it comes to your personal security, you want the best, and your training shouldn't be an exception. WyoTac is your one stop for all of your education and training needs, covering competitive, defensive, and hunting classes, as well as medical, fieldcraft, and survival courses. With over a decade of experience and with a network of resources, WyoTac can help to meet your goals. When no one is coming, you have to rely on yourself. Make sure you know what to do when the time comes. WyoTac. Empowerment through self-reliance.
Every town for gun safety, train smart. The Clown Show.
Dude, I just had a brilliant idea while you were break before we transition. We need to get Lee Williams on as a guest.
We do. We.
I think I can pull that off. Because if the article is written in such a way where he felt like he probably had to hold back a little bit,
mm-hmm.
I want to put him in a platform where he doesn't have to do that.
No, and I think if we're going to do that, we all need to go through it as well.
Agreed.
But so
you can't make it up, guys. That's horrible.
I know. Well, like I said, when I first saw it, I could have swore I was reading the Babylon Bee. But speaking of absolute satire, New York went full socialist. You never go full retard. We learned this.
They're going to get everything they voted for.
And since then, let's see, the New York fire chief
left.
The moment he got elected, he's turned his resignation in.
One quarter of the New York City police force is resigning at the end of the year.
Yep. Yep.
Either straight up resignation or early retirement.
Good luck filling those slots.
Yeah. The New York Stock Exchange is moving all of their digital assets to Dallas. Going with them is JP Morgan and Charles Schwab.
Why even keep Wall Street there then?
They're keeping the building and the physical operations, but that's it. And that, but right now, that's about 8% of their operations.
Because it's a tourist attraction.
They're moving. Sure. They're moving about Wall Street. You know, it produces about $8 trillion a week in revenue.
That's a lot of money.
Think about that.
That's a lot of money.
All of that tax revenue is now moving to Texas.
Yeesh.
I think California is going to lose its designation as the second largest economy.
Well, and with good reason. This guy, he can't stay out of a microphone, and he can't help himself but actually share what is actually on his mind.
Well, and it's like a lot of the Democrat politicians that we see. This is his first job ever. This is a trust fund baby, the child of a... Columbia professor, and I forget what his mother did.
So he outranks AOC because she worked at Hot Dog on a Stick?
Well, and AOC's behind him. And here's the scary thing, because this all ties into the shutdown, too. The shutdown, we know, was caused by Chuck Schumer because he's terrified of being primaried by AOC. And when you are scared to be primaried from AOC, you know your career's in the crapper.
Dude, he comes onto the mic and says he's going to do things like reduce taxes.
No, he's going to increase taxes.
Well, he says he's going to reduce taxes by taking taxes from somebody else. You can't affect tax code in a state environment unless you're the governor.
Right, and it fell apart, and I was actually kind of surprised because Stephanopoulos was the one that pointed this out to him on air, that you realize you can't change the taxes without the governor's sign-off, and Kathy Hochul went, I'm not taxing the rich.
And he's going to open the jails.
Yeah, let me know how that goes for you.
He was talking about Sing Sing and the state... federal prisons.
We need to build walls around New York State.
Yeah. Yes, we've seen this movie. It doesn't end well for New York.
No, it doesn't. I as soon as he got elected, I said, all right, we need to set the charges on the bridges.
And Snake Bliskin, he showed up the other day on Facebook and went, hey guys, I'm out. I'm too old for this shit. Because we've all seen this movie.
We have.
He's not the governor.
No.
And he's trying to make promises to the populace of New York that only a state official can make.
Right.
He's a mayor, a municipal mayor. Now, he can make city ordinance.
Right.
One of the things I saw that was really egregious was he's not going to allow any of the grocery stores in Manhattan to sell alcohol, tobacco, or lottery tickets.
Yep.
Most of the folks at a grocery store in New York, I don't know if you've ever been, that's their revenue stream.
Mm-hmm.
They advertise that they can sell beer, wine,
mm-hmm.
sometimes alcohol, depending on their grocery store and their liquor license, that they all sell lottery tickets.
So wait a minute. He can revoke all of their licenses that they've all paid for. I can see him whittling it out to when it expires. It does not renew, but you can't just axe it.
Oh, no. There would be lots of civil lawsuits coming up as results of the actions that he's made promises on.
Mm-hmm. I want to know when he's going to start making the women cover to go out in public.
So, second year, he's looking at Sharia law.
Yeah, well, that's something that at a federal level needs to be addressed because Sharia law flies exactly opposite of our Constitution. And for him to think that he's going to invoke Sharia law on U.S. soil, no, you can't, because that is such an egregious violation of civil rights.
It is. And there's a lot of folks that are not Muslim.
That's right.
They don't follow Islam. And it's not going to work for them.
No. And I want to find out how this goes the first time one of these blue-haired, green-haired women that voted for him, that specifically were like, oh, yeah, we want Sharia law, gets beaten in the street for opening her mouth.
Which is kosher underneath Sharia law.
That's right. It's not only kosher, it's required.
Yeah, no, he's kind of entered into the absolute absurd side of things.
Well, and one of the first things he's done is he's lifted an ordinance that, you know, it's not a crime if you steal something that's less than $1,000.
Steal.
Walgreens, see you later.
Theft is steal.
Major companies will pull out.
Well, any of those retailers that make their livings on the $0 to $200.
Remember when California did that? All of those businesses just up and left those corporations that had big stores there, just shut all their stores. Bam.
Why wouldn't you? I mean,
you can't afford to have that kind of loss. You just can't.
No, and we were already having a problem with insurance companies filing for bankruptcy and not covering insured people. Look at California. Look at that Palisades fire. Was it State Farm? Up and left.
All State up and left.
Yeah. So
this is headed for a train wreck. They're going to get everything they voted for. And I'll be honest, I've had conversations with some of my friends that live in New York. I don't have any that actually live in Manhattan. But they're starting to see this as an overflow to infringing on their way of life, and they're leaving.
Is Papa still in New York?
He is, but he's not in downtown Manhattan.
Oh.
So, but he's in New York, and he's talking about leaving. Brian Pemberton, he's talking about leaving.
We need to talk to somebody in New York City who's dealing with it, because that would be...
Yeah, good luck.
Well, I mean, everybody that I've talked to has already gotten out. They've gotten out over the last 8 years.
So basically, we're saying the Islam faith is the only people that are going to be happy there.
And even they won't be happy because it's going to be like living in a mud hut in Afghanistan.
They could just go home and they'd be better off.
They would be.
Because Manhattan's expensive. Well, if you're going to live there, it's quite expensive.
And, you know, he wants to state run all the grocery stores or city run all the grocery stores. We know how this turns out. I mean, look at what happened with Venezuela when they pulled all this crap. Now there's no food.
I'm going to get in a bread line.
Yeah. You can't do that to private industry. All those mom and pop privately owned grocery stores, he can't do that to.
But those are the first ones he's going to target because they're the most vulnerable. Because they don't have the resources to fight back.
Your King Supers, Albertsons, Safeways, all leave. That stuff, they'll just go.
When the big ones close up and the little ones close up, what do you have left?
So now we're talking...
New Jersey.
Well, now you're talking shortages. Because there's how many people in New York City?
Yeah, well, they'll all have to drive to out of state, or at least out of New York, to go buy their groceries.
And they'll have no grocery stores.
They won't.
I'm optimistic that it won't get that far, and somebody will intercede on his mad plan, because... It doesn't make any sense for America. It just doesn't.
Who's going to intercede?
The governor.
She's going to have to because he was voted in. Now can she remove him? Or is she stuck with him for whatever his term is?
She's stuck with him, but there's a lot of supremacy that comes with being a governor over the mayors. And if you are doing something that is egregiously harmful to the state, the governor can step in. Now Mondami...
So now she's busy.
She is busy, and she's a Democrat, too. But here's the thing. He has gone and publicly picked a fight with Trump, too. So he's making enemies right and left of the people that he needs to work with him to get any of this done.
Well, there's a little thing called Article 6.
Right.
If federal law is in place, and it is, none of his I want to's are going to matter. And I think he's going to get frustrated when he runs into that and actually talks to a lawyer with a proper suit and has got a set.
So New York's going to need BIA as well?
Well, Bureau of Indian Affairs. I mean, I don't know that they'll need them, but they're going to need some sort of help from the Department of Interior, sure.
I mean, we have our three that come in every once in a while. They get three.
Yeah, they rotated in and out for us, but I mean, they got a lot of ground to cover out here.
No, you just here's what you do. You deputize just a buttload of National Guard, send them in under the FBI. The FBI has a New York field office.
Nah. You're missing the fun in this. You let it develop.
Well, yeah. I mean, you got to let it develop.
And we will make neighborhood warlord patches.
Yes.
And they're already kind of separated out into the village and the boroughs and the Bronx and all those little subsections of New York, right? That's going to become neighborhood warlord time.
I probably will. And to a certain extent, it's starting to turn that way anyway.
It has been for a while.
You know, the lawlessness has gone on since Giuliani. It's just gotten progressively worse, but now we're going to shove it right back into this late 70s.
Times Square is going to be a wreck.
Oh, the entire city. Tourism is going to come to a halt.
I'm sorry, I never had a desire anyway.
I've been to New York a couple times. I got to see Times Square in the 80s when it was a cesspool. I got to see Times Square in the 90s when Giuliani had cleaned it up.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually kind of neat. MTV studios were downtown, down there on Times Square. That was kind of fun. Having the ball drop in New York was kind of fun. There's a lot of people. An absolute shit show of people. But the last time I was there, it was pretty bad. And I don't imagine it's gotten better since.
No, it hasn't. And that started... That started during COVID, during the George Floyd riots, and now we're going to defund the police, and Mondani's actually going to do it. And unfortunately, he does have the authority to do it in New York.
From a municipal standpoint, he does have that authority.
Just think of it this way. You've always wanted to visit a third world country. Now you can do it domestically. I know, but now people who can't afford to leave the country can do it domestically.
You don't have to have a passport. I get it. I gotcha.
Oh, no.
I thought you could do that in Portland, though.
There's a couple spots that are going that way.
I think Portland's looking a little better than New York at the moment.
Sadly, you're absolutely right. It's looking way better.
But yeah, I'm curious to see how this develops in the next year. When you start to see the mass exodus of the money that runs New York, because anybody that's got the means is going to get out. You know, he's talking about, oh, I'm going to raise their taxes 2%. But if you actually break it down, it ends up raising their taxes like 22%.
But the giggle there is he can't touch taxes.
He can't.
The governor. He's not the state legislator. He's a municipal mayor.
He'll just raise the city tax in.
And then, is there a city tax?
I'm sure there is in New York.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Most major cities have a city tax.
And your property taxes are typically handled by the county, which New York's going to run that county.
Yeah. I mean, that I could see, but he still can't affect tax code. He's not the governor.
I agree, but you know what? We see the Democrat mayors and governors doing it all the freaking time. They pass it as a float.
Oh, New Mexico did that.
And then it becomes a lawsuit to get it revoked.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a whole big thing. But in the meantime,
you're screwed.
Right. It's going to be a circus. And how
long has he been in office now, y'all?
He hasn't.
Seven days?
He's not actually inaugurated yet.
Not until January.
He won the election, so he will be.
So shouldn't he keep his pie hole shut until January?
If he's smart, he should. Because he's pro-Hamas, he's pro-jihad, he's called for a global intifada.
He was on Ellis Island the other day with cameras and shit, yelling at another state senator for immigration shit. He can't stay out of the camera.
My question is, the fact that he's calling for a global intifada, does that not make him a terrorist?
By definition.
I mean, that's making a terrorist threat.
By definition, yes.
Am I wrong?
No.
So how are we not locking him up?
Somebody has to press charges.
Because right now he's better than our movie industry and we're all watching it.
She has a point.
Yeah,
I mean, I'll be honest. It has been a source of entertainment for me, watching this whole thing develop. And I apologize to the folks that are friendlies that live in Manhattan, because you're now behind enemy lines. But I find it funny.
Yeah. Well, and then we have the the AG of Virginia that openly called for the death of conservatives and their children.
And he got elected, too.
Yes. I mean, we dodged a bullet in Minnesota.
Yep.
But yeah, this AG, look, I made a joke at the beginning of the podcast about, you know, every town's doing this training because they're tired of their assassins missing. but you laugh, but it's not that funny.
It is when you consider the marksmanship component of their training.
Well,
how much better are they going to be? They get to watch range time. It's fine.
Oh, yeah. Hey, guess what? Now we can start, you know, all these people that go through this, all the liberals that go through this every town training, we can start nailing them for red flag laws because, well, they have gun content on their YouTube.
Pulp Fiction has better gun content than every town.
Now, we got to watch it first.
I'm not wrong.
Yeah. What is it? Heat? That's the one you got to watch.
There's good gun handling in Heat.
The Marines still watch it as part of their training.
That's good.
So, I don't know. The world has gone crazy.
It's crazy-er.
Yeah, I mean,
it's been crazy for a while.
We'll just keep it on the coasts.
But that's where the people are.
Exactly. We'll keep it on the coasts.
Well, and I had to laugh. I think I played this for you. It was a little short thing that TikTok thing that I found on Facebook, and it was a woman explaining that, you know, in of course she's, you know, navy blue left wing, but she's talking about the fact that we're going to have a civil war, and the right, the red side of this is going to lose because the blue and the big cities, they control all the water. And I just, my thought was, Have you ever looked at a map?
She got fired from Hot Dog on a Stick, too, didn't she?
Okay, number one, look at a map. Number two, how do you think the water gets to you in the middle of the city?
Yeah.
It just magically comes out of the faucet. It's like food is made at the grocery store.
The disconnect is going to be the downfall of this country because they actually believe that
shit. They do. And it's like, it's scary. I see this stuff all the time and I'm like, that's got to be satire. And it's not. These people actually believe. And they're like, well, we're going to beat them in sheer numbers because there's more Democrats than there are Republicans. And it's like, no, there's not. You're just all concentrated together, and there might be 5 million of you in one place.
Their mama's basement.
Right? In New York.
The problem with that statement is we equate volume with numbers.
Right.
They're loud.
Mm-hmm.
We're not. When they wake the giant, they're going to have a problem.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I'm not worried about that piece of it at all.
No, I was reading an article about this yesterday, and they were talking about, you know, we are in a civil war. There just hasn't been much shooting yet. And he was emphasized that there hasn't been much shooting. But we all know what side is coming from.
The shooting that's been happening has been from their side. I saw a statistic the other day, 90% of, maybe even 97% of all gun violence would go down if Democrats would stop shooting.
Right. They're not wrong.
Which gives actual fuel to every town's training. Because they're going to be told to disassemble their firearms and lock them up. And I say do it.
It might actually help things.
It might actually help things.
Yeah, I don't know. Since we've gotten back from Ballistic Summit, this is our first one back at home since Ballistic, but... We leave for a month, and what the hell did you guys do to the world?
Yeah, you can't turn your head because it'll get out of control.
Oh my God! And this is—I've decided this is why the Onion went out of business, is because they can't make up things that are more dumb than what's actually happening.
There's no more fiction.
No,
it's like reality TV, right? That died a very abrupt death because we filmed all the reality.
it's over.
It's on CNN.
And it continues to propagate itself in the form of news. Pet peeve. We watch and get our news and our information from social media, right? I'm guilty of it. Oh, you're guilty of it. We're all guilty of it. The problem with it is it's commentary. It's not news.
It hasn't been news in two decades.
I mean, Walter Cronkite was the last real news anchor. Bret Baier tries, but he gets sucked into commentary too.
You know, and I very first saw it, and I was probably, God, I want to say I was 20, 21 at the time. It was Bush Gore. W. Bush and Gore's during that presidential campaign. And that's when I really saw, I mean, stark bias to the media. Obvious. And I was still, you know, I was a dumb kid.
Look at this dumb government shutdown, what we've just went through.
Oh, my God.
Right?
I'm sorry. I didn't notice.
Because you didn't pay attention.
Well,
it
no.
It was all people talked about.
I don't fly, and I'm not on government benefits.
Sure.
So what did it do to me?
Absolutely nothing.
Exactly.
That was my point the other day is we've been shut down for almost 40 days. Maybe 40 days.
Yeah, it was 40 days.
And who knew? Honestly, if you were a government employee that got furloughed, okay, maybe you noticed. If you tried to travel in an airplane, okay, maybe you noticed. But it was an inconvenience. It wasn't like a catastrophic, oh my God, the government shut down, the sky's falling. Stop right? it. It didn't matter, really.
Well, one of the things I'm looking forward to seeing is when we do get reopened, which it sounds like it's probably going to be in the next day or so, it'll be official. But I want to know the swath that Trump took out of the bureaucracy, because during that shutdown, he was just laying waste to bureaucratic jobs that were unnecessary.
Absolutely.
And burdensome.
Right. Get rid of it.
I want to see what the final tally is. Because I'll bet it's a third of the bureaucracy.
I'd love an after-action report to be straight up put out there by Speaker Johnson.
Yes.
I mean, he has been no nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to give him props. He defined and showcased probably one of the most misunderstood manipulation tactics of all time. Mm-hmm. Gaslighting.
Yes.
Marxist gaslighting. If you're doing it, you yell and loud and scream about the other people doing exactly what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And blame them for it. It's gaslighting.
Yeah. I don't know how the Democrats even thought they could blame anybody but themselves for this.
They didn't care.
No, they didn't.
They needed it as leverage to try and get their little socialist things put into a spending bill in the form of pork.
Yep.
Which, quite frankly, is offensive.
It is. And the fact that they came out publicly and said, we want to cause maximum pain because this is the leverage that we have. And when they said that, they wanted to cause maximum pain on the American people.
Well, they mean Democrats mostly. Other than the disabled, the elderly, and all that.
Well, that's
all the rest of you are Democrats.
That's a good way to get people to vote for you.
If anybody's paying attention, the Democrats are going to take a bloodbath.
Oh, next year is going to be...
it should be,
but
will it?
Well, I don't know, because unfortunately the American public has a memory like a freaking goldfish.
I think you're being generous.
And you know, Andrew Wilkow says it best, you know, the history of now, forget yesterday.
Sadly, you're exactly right.
Yeah, it's bad. And, wow, we went way over time.
Well, good. We'll have some stuff to cut. But God bless. The stupid was on full display.
Oh, it was. I'm about guessing we're going to have more stupid for next week. But you know what? It kind of makes for a fun podcast.
It does.
So until next week, oh, God, I don't even know. Because you can't blame your gun because you can't have access to it, so...
I'm blaming every town.
We'll blame Bloomberg.
Yep.